Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello, and welcome to Alaska Edition from Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. Since Alaska voters passed a state ballot initiative legalizing recreational marijuana in 2014, the state has been wrestling with just how to regulate the substance. And as Alaska's Marijuana Control Board is ready to roll out licenses for retail shops and grow operations, competing Senate and House bills could make changes in the process. We'll learn later in the program about the bills and hear from Houston's mayor about that city's plan to stay out of the red by becoming a cannabis retail magnet. But first, let's introduce this week's guests. Sarah Williams is the chair of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Assembly's Marijuana Advisory Committee and an aspiring marijuana retail shop owner. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Ellen.
Thanks for being with us. Tim Hinterberger is a professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage and a marijuana activist. Hello, Tim.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. And Erica McConnell is a planner with the Municipality of Anchorage. And she's also with an advisory committee?
I'm working to establish the municipal coordination for marijuana in Anchorage.
Okay. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you.
Let's get down to it. We've got a lot to discuss today because there is a bill, two bills out right now, loitering in the legislature. And without them, the whole licensing process is going to have to take a step back. But I did speak with Cynthia Franklin this morning, and she said it's not a delay. There's really only one license right now that is ready to move to the next step. So the state has released information on how many applications there are now. I think something like 250 pending in front of the state, and they still have a long way to go. And with this one bill now pending would address the codes needed to allow the Marijuana Control Board to proceed with felony background checks. And because we do not have our language set in state code yet, the Marijuana Control Board cannot move on those background checks. And another two bills, I believe, a Senate and House version of a bill would deal with unincorporated areas of the state and how they would or would not opt in or not opt in to the state marijuana regulations. So let's talk a little bit with, I'd like to bring in Sarah, first of all, because she has a license application.
Soon
to be. And I think you would first want to tell me, first of all, how arduous is the licensing process?
You know, it is a tremendous amount of work. We have the MCB makes their application processes on a merit-based application process. So the entire content of the application is really, really important to determine whether or not it's a valid company that should be issued a license. And over the last few weeks, I have written operations plans, I've written security plans, I've written prevention diversion to minors plans, I've written product recall plans. And all in all, when it's all said and done, if you include our final site plans, our product packaging standards, and even just all of it, our application is well over 110 pages long.
And your application is for a retail
yes.
A store, mm-hmm. like you would be selling edibles? Or
right. So the kinds of products that we're looking to sell is really what the cannabis market will provide. So we're limited to whatever the production facilities provide. So we're hoping, of course, flower, edibles, tinctures, salves. We've seen suppositories come about. We've seen all sorts of different kinds of unique products that come out. So we'll additionally sell CBD-only products, which are a hemp oil-derived product, which is it's the non-psychoactive element of the mm-hmm. plant. And then we'll sell some unique glassware and accessories as well.
So what is the name of your business?
Midnight Greenery.
And where will it be located?
Well, in an ideal location, it will be downtown. In Anchorage, although we hail from the Valley, there's a ballot measure on the October ballot to ban commercialization in the Valley. So at this moment, it makes the better financial choice to locate in Anchorage. So we're hoping in an ideal situation that it will be located in downtown Anchorage.
So if you're selling edibles and, mm-hmm. and smokables, I guess, mm-hmm. Will there be on-site consumption allowed? Is this going to be similar to like a cafe where you can just go?
Well, we do hope to have a cafe as part of our location. That being said, a lot of the on-site consumption endorsement still has to be defined by both all three, the Anchorage Assembly, the state legislature, and the April 27th meeting of the MCB meeting will determine what the on-site consumption endorsement looks like. But most importantly, though, currently there's a bill in the Senate, I believe. Have just passed on to the House, House Bill 328, that could ban all on-site consumption anyway.
Wow. So you're taking quite a risk.
Yes.
And is the risk worth it to you?
Absolutely.
Are you looking forward to, do you have any idea what kind of income you could make from these businesses?
We do. We've done our financials. We've been doing our business plan for over a year and a half now. We've been researching. And so it's well into the millions as to the kinds of income that can be made from this with a proper business model. But it's a new industry, so there's still a lot of risk.
Right, a lot of risk. And part of the risk is that, in the case of the Mat-Su borough, the borough, the overriding area-wide law has not been determined yet. The borough will be voting on that in October. But right now, two cities, Wasilla and Palmer, within the borough, have opted to ban retail marijuana sales consumption within city limits. And that is their right under the state's code as it exists now. However, the city of Houston has decided, Little Houston, 2,000 people, has decided to allow marijuana retail sales and grow operations within city limits. And our producer, Casey Ellingson, recently visited with Houston Mayor Virgie Thompson, and she brings us this report. Houston is sort of the lone ranger in the Mat-Su borough, as Palmer and Wasilla have both voted to ban the retail sales of marijuana or cultivation within their city limits. Why is Houston going ahead with it?
Well, we as a council, we're very good about listening to what the community wants. And it was pretty obvious that after that was voted on by the state of Alaska and all the residents, our voting precinct alone, the city of Houston, it went over overwhelmingly, 14%.
How about on-site consumption? Has that been decided yet?
It's what everybody wants. But, they say, well, why not? Why not? And it's like, if we do something different than what the state is allowing at this point in time, then it is our responsibility to police that. My opinion is, and I'm one of seven, my opinion is that we need to take baby steps. I don't think we should take everything on at the same time. I think we should do bits and pieces and start the process.
What kind of backlash are you getting?
Very little. I am actually kind of surprised how little negative there actually has been. When you have five or six people that testify for it and want everything, we have one or two that testify that they're a little skeptical or they really don't think we should do anything.
How do you feel that this, what kind of impact will it have on children?
Here's the thing. The children are exposed to it now. The children that are choosing to use it or get it, it's because it's on the coffee table at home. It's not the children's fault. It's the parenting. And until parenting is got under control, it's always going to be there. They're always going to find a way to get it. They're going to find a way to use it. And that's a choice. And that's through parenting.
And that's Houston Mayor Virgie Thompson, and brought to us by producer Casey Ellington. Since then, the Houston City Council has amended Houston City Code to allow on-site consumption, although, again, that is not in sync with the state, and it's still up in the air as how the Houston has no police force, so how they're going to patrol that, I don't know. So let's bring in Mr. Hinterberger, because you were one of the driving forces behind the 2014 initiative to legalize marijuana. First of all, what was your reasoning behind that?
Well, as you know, I've been an activist in this area going back for decades, as have many people in Alaska. So I was working with other Alaskans. We had, of course, an initiative on the ballot in 2000, and in 2004. And so these people have just been, all of us have just been waiting for another opportunity to address this as times change in the state and across the country. So when we had an opportunity to partner with the Marijuana Policy Project to get some funding to move forward with this here, it was just seemed like the right time to go ahead.
Okay, and did you have a problem with the driving force really from the East Coast, the Marijuana Policy
Well, they
Project?
Well, they were the funders. They provided, you know, support that we could not have worked without. But the fact is that the driving force was here in Alaska. Many, you know, all of the people who signed the initiative are evidence of that. And all of the people who were running it here in Alaska, people like Bill Parker and all the people who were collecting signatures, they've been longtime activists.
Mm-hmm. Did you help write the initiative?
I had a hand in it. Mm-hmm. We consulted a lot with the legal staff at the Marijuana Health Policy Project, as well as our friends in Colorado who had on-the-ground experience with legalization at that point.
So did the backers of the initiative foresee the complexities? I think now we are really seeing just how complex mm-hmm. this is as far as from a legal angle. And did you foresee any of this?
Well, sure, of course, looking to what was going on in Colorado and just, you know, anything. That's such a big change from decades of prohibition to having a new regulated industry. There's endless details that need to be worked out. And really, as we said throughout the campaign, we did not try to put all of the details in the initiative language because it's much more flexible and appropriate to have those addressed in regulation. As we're seeing now, the regulations are changing month to month, and I think that's appropriate, and that's to be expected.
Right, and they're changing locality to locality.
Exactly.
Like apparently mm-hmm. Juneau or Douglas maybe allows people to have, you know, grow operations like in their backyards, whereas mm-hmm. Other areas it's a more of a land use issue. It's very strictly zoned where it can be grown, where it can
sure.
be sold. Thank you, Tim. Erica, let's bring you in because you're the city now, City of Anchorage, has allowed marijuana retail. Tell me some of the restrictions put on selling, growing, and other areas of the industry.
Sure. Well, the state legislation allows the city to regulate the time, the place, the manner, and the number of marijuana establishments. So we deal with zoning particularly, and the assembly has passed an ordinance that addresses land use regulations for marijuana and determined that commercial establishments should be allowed in industrial districts and some in commercial districts, but nothing in residential districts.
Okay.
And then they have placed other types of regulations that vary by the type of establishment. There's four different types of establishments. You have your retail store, you have your cultivation facility, you have your manufacturing facility, and then you have a testing facility.
And would different agencies of the city be monitoring these different types of facilities? I'm interested, say, a marijuana cafe. Would mm-hmm. that be under the health department? Who would inspect that?
Well, we're working on interagency coordination and making sure that we have a lot of coordination between the various parts of the city to allow both our code enforcement officers, our fire department, and our health department when necessary, and possibly others to inspect different facilities. The health regulations are kind of interesting. The state regulations require that every retail store have a food safety permit, but the city health department isn't as concerned if there are no what they call hazardous foods at the location. And hazardous foods would be things that need refrigeration or could have, you know, bacteria like botulism or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think the city and the state are still communicating on exactly how those health permits and inspections will be worked out.
Wow. It's very exciting time, I think, for people who have the guts to go ahead and jump in. And I want to bring Sarah back in. Your retail store would be selling smokables, edibles, and mm-hmm. maybe a little caffeine on the side. But how do you feel about like inspections, and is that an added burden to the owner?
I wouldn't say it's an added burden. I would say it's a cost of doing business. Mm-hmm. I think that at this point in time, this is a regulated industry, and so we voted to have it legal access and regulated, and so this provides us an opportunity to follow in the line of following regulations. And so You know, and it also brings a lot of public safety peace when I think about it, because being on the chair of the Marijuana Advisory Committee, when we decided on the conditional use permit, I backed the conditional use permit because the borough is a very mixed variety of individuals. And so it really came down to, if we're going to have a piece of legislation that makes the public feel safe, that these establishments, whom they've maybe in their mind always thought to be criminals or drug dealers, are now coming into the market, that they have some government oversight on them. And so I don't see it as a burden. I think that it's really just a matter of, it's just a cost of doing business.
Right. And how about the fees? My understanding is a state application would run anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, there would be a city license, a health license, your insurance. What kind of insurance would you prepay?
So there are companies that do insure cannabis facilities. And so you'd have product liability insurance. You may have insurance on a grow operation, things like that.
So it's quite an expenditure just to get started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for those who are listening or watching, it's not as simple as going online and filling out a form.
No, and it's definitely a cost. It's a significant cost. I would say anywhere from, if you do not already have any equipment, I would say anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 at a minimum for a small grow operation. It's definitely a cost.
So I want to get back to this idea of unincorporated areas, in or out. The Senate and House versions of a bill are sparring over that particular. And Tim, maybe you could answer, what exactly is the code now, and how would these Senate and House bills, should they pass, change things regarding unincorporated areas?
The initiative states, and it was our intent all along, that unincorporated areas, just like any area, would by default have the option to have marijuana establishments located there, with the clear ability to opt out either by referendum or by an action of a legislative body within that locality. The version of the legislation, that current legislation that we're objecting to, would by default place restrictions or prohibit marijuana facilities in unincorporated areas and force the people there to go through a process of opting in. That was not our intent, and we think that places an undue burden on potential business operators in those unincorporated areas. In fact, we've heard from people who say that, yeah, this is not what they want in their area.
Right, and I guess an unincorporated area would lack oversight facilities anyway. I mean, should maybe a small village, how about like where a tribal entity would be in charge of a village? How would that work?
It's really up to the local people there to require whatever oversight they see fit. And of course, they would be under the state regulations mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. So are these two bills now, are they holding up the process, or?
I haven't heard anything lately. I haven't heard anything in about a month, so I'm not sure what the status is.
Right, whereas the other bill regarding background checks is, in the Marijuana Control Board says it's a very temporary delay because only there's maybe five or six applications now that are even ready to, one is ready for background checks, and one, the other five, I guess, are ready for documentation review. So Erica, tell me, do you have any idea how many applications are in from the city of Anchorage?
Well, actually, we haven't received any applications because one of the requirements to file an application with the city is a state application that has been deemed complete. So until the state gets this issue resolved and starts to deem applications complete, people will not be able to begin the city application process.
So that is temporarily set back.
Yes.
How about on-site? Now, what is the state on-site consumption, on-site utilization as a product, I guess we would say? Is that allowed under the state code?
Well, like Sarah mentioned, the Marijuana Control Board is working on regulations that would govern this on-site endorsement, which retail stores could apply for, and then they would be allowed to do on-site consumption at that store. The city currently prohibits on-site consumption, but they're waiting to see what the rules that come out of the state look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they want to move forward to allow that, they would need to make a change in code.
How about, would this put an enforcing on-site consumption, would this put an undue burden on our police force, which is already stressed?
I'm not really sure I have a good answer for that question. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certainly, presumably be rules in place, but we don't know exactly what those rules are right now.
My answer to that would be that allowing on-site consumption in cafes or other retail areas would reduce the burden on police. Otherwise, the police are going to be tracking down people smoking in their cars and on the sidewalks and in city parks, and which, you know, if people are visiting Anchorage, they're going to be wanting to try one of our newest, most interesting industries. And if they have no visitors, you know, if you're not a resident here and have a home where you can legally consume it in, what are you going to do? Not your hotel room, probably. So
I want to add to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Sarah.
For establishments like mine, consuming on site is a much more responsible situation because we can educate about responsible consumption, about how much or how little or what your effects are going to be. And so we can help new users, tourists, through that process. But if they take it and they go find a park and they consume publicly and they shouldn't and they have a bad experience, well, that's definitely shouldn't happen. You know, it's not good for anyone.
That would be another angle. If someone did have a reaction, maybe a not good psychological reaction to a specific type of weed, there would be somebody there to help.
Yes, absolutely. And give them things like pepper or lemon or whatever might be necessary to bring down that that experience. And so on-site consumption, April 27th is when the MCB will present what that beast is going to look like at that point. So just the general regulations. And to kind of answer the question of what law enforcement will have to deal with, we'll know better at that point as to how much regulation is going to be. Because when you look at the bar situation, bars have to, you know, bartenders have to gauge how many drinks that they're issuing, right, and what's the intoxication level. And that will be similar to what we see in an on-site consumption endorsement.
And do we have any kind of data on that? I know what would flatten me, others people could drink without thinking, and as far as alcohol is concerned.
The same for marijuana. It's very different. It is very different in how one person, I know people with tolerance levels that can consume concentrates and have no problem, but someone who has never consumed before, you would never want to try them on a concentrate. That should never be their first step.
Getting back to the on-site, so the city is sort of waiting for the state. I know Houston was waiting for the state and wanted to be, extremely close to the state codes, but now there is a bit of a wrinkle there with the Houston City Council approving on-site consumption, and the states, it's still in limbo. These do bring up questions about law enforcement and, you know, possible medical help, emergencies. Mm-hmm. You know, some people do not have a great reaction to this stuff. And there's a lot of variables. Tim, I'd like to bring you back in. What are some of the variables that you find most interesting that have come down since the 2014 election? Is there anything that stands out in your mind that you are, wow, I never thought of that?
Well, it's been interesting to see how this has been approached differently by different municipalities in the area around the state. Some places were really on board with it, like Fairbanks. Fairbanks mayor was one of our advocates advocate from the beginning that it should be allowed there. And then in the valley, we had less enthusiastic reception. It's been interesting to see how it unfolds across the state, And personally, I take a really long view on all of this. We're just at the beginning of a whole new phase in this country of understanding marijuana and accepting it after decades of prohibition that was all based on lies and racism, frankly, from its inception. So there's a lot of change in thinking that has to happen. And, you know, 10 years from now, I would say we're going to see the majority of states in this country having legalized marijuana consumption. Mm-hmm. We're going to look back on this period of change as something that, you know, we just went through and that wasn't that interesting.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, Alaska's always been pretty lenient regarding marijuana. It's quasi-illegal in your home. The Raven decision and all of that, yada, yada. So we do have that background, but people do forget it is still illegal federally. And one of the reasons the application process is so stringent is because, as I was told by the Marijuana Control Board, They don't want feds coming in here with any excuse whatsoever to bust people and put them out of business.
Well, that's another thing. I think we can count on that changing within the next decade as well. I'm confident that the will of the people is that marijuana should be used responsibly by adults, and the federal government is dragging their feet about recognizing that, but they will eventually.
Right. And Erica, you probably get a lot of questions at the city. What are some of the quirky questions you've gotten? Anything really off the wall?
Well, I can't think of an off the wall question, but I'll tell you about an issue that we're really that is proving challenging for us, and that is there are certain uses that marijuana establishments have to be separated from, and the separation distance is measured by the shortest pedestrian route. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean you can walk directly through a parking lot and ignore all the cars even though there's a sidewalk? Does that mean you have to go on the sidewalk? If there's a stand of trees, do you go around it? Can you go through it?
We'll have to leave that for next week. We are running out of time. I'd like to thank my guests, Sarah, Erica, Tim. Thank you so much, and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Ellen Lockyer. We'll be back with another Alaska Edition next week.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.